And a part of the vision that we have is building the church. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish or cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law." And so if we think about this idea of vision, I want us to think about the vision we have for ourselves individually and the vision that we have for the church. And I want us to keep this in mind too. Sometimes there are visions placed before a group of people or a congregation. And though we may not have a vision statement or something like that, we do have a vision given to us from God's Word. We are charged and encouraged and challenged to share the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we go. Jesus said, "Go therefore in all the world and preach the gospel." In other words, while you're going in your everyday life, share Jesus. Talk about Jesus in everything that we do. Look for opportunities to talk about Jesus. Some of that vision is to invite people to our services, to be a part of the things that we are a part of. Another thing of that is benevolence. We're beginning extending our benevolence program, moving that out to the old flower shop. We're going to call it House of Hope. And Dre and Janet Wagner's been talking about that and been talking to several people. There'll be opportunities for each and every one of us to be involved in that. And so this will be a good work and is another part of our vision as we think about that. And why is that important? I want to share with you this story. A story about four men. They used to meet together each week in Memphis. One man was a service station owner and one man was a salesman for a wholesale appliance company. One man was an assistant treasurer of a large corporation and one was a teacher. These men shared with each other their longings, their desires, and plans. They decided to set goals and to share these with each other. So the service station owner, he set a goal to be making $50,000 a year within 5 years. The wholesale appliance salesman, he set a goal to be making $25,000 a year within the next 5 years. The teacher set a goal to be teaching in one of the greatest educational institutions in America within 5 years. The assistant treasurer said he was going to do the best that he could, but he was not going to set a specific goal. Within 5 years, the service station owner was making in excess of $50,000 a year. And then today he's worth over $1 million. Within 4 years, the wholesale appliance salesman was making $25,000 a year. Today he is a wealthy man. In 2 years and 10 months, the teacher was offered the best teaching job in his field in the United States. The assistant treasurer is still working at his same job in the circumstances that he was in the day the goals were set. Aim determines direction. When you aim a pistol toward a target, how you aim it determines the direction the bullet will go, as the story goes. The conscious and subconscious goals you have for your life have brought about the situation in which you find yourself today. So setting goals are important. But what about for our life? Think about that for a minute. What's the vision that you have for your life? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years? And a challenging question for us and for us to share with others is, if I'm not here in 5 to 10 years, where will I be? And I'm not only talking physically. What's the vision that you have for the church here in Savannah? Where do you see the church in the next 5 to 10 years, both physically and spiritually? You see, the question that we have to answer is how do we accomplish that? If we have these goals and visions, how do we accomplish that? If I have this idea for my life, for where I want to be in the next 5 or 10 years, how do I accomplish that? I want you to think and dream about some goals and visions that you personally have for the church. You know, it's real easy to say, well, you know, the church is not going to be much in a few years. Look how things are changing. Why did John F. Kennedy make that famous statement? Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Because he knew that when people dig in and they get involved, that great things will happen. Maybe JFK knew that it wasn't government that made the country great, it was the people. And the same goes for the church. It's not always the leadership that makes a church great, it's the people that make up the church. And so where do we want to be in the next 5 or 10 years? I want us to think about some things and some ways and turn to some scriptures that we can do individually for ourselves, but most of all for the church. The first thing is to be committed as a family. Each and every family to be committed to the church. The definition of commitment or some ideas about commitment means making a firm choice. Commitment means I make a firm choice. I'm going to choose to do this. That's what I'm going to do. When you enter a marriage relationship, you're making a choice. It's not just about falling in love, though that's very important, but you make a choice to remain in love. You make a choice to remain committed. Committed means not worrying about keeping our options open or leaving ourselves a way out. Commitment means pursuing something wholeheartedly with no plans to fall back on. Commitment means being 100% sold out to a person or a cause or a goal, not holding anything back. And so what do we need to do to accomplish this? Well, each family, we need to be committed to the cause of Christ. We need to be committed to what we're doing here at our location in Savannah. We need to, number one, be committed to God. He has blessed each and every one of us beyond measure. Yes, we are where we at because of the goals that we have set for ourselves. But also, we are where we are because of the blessings that God has given us. God has blessed us, especially in this country, very, very graciously. And He expects us to use those blessings for His glory. He has given us His full commitment by sending His only begotten Son. Even though while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He has given us a great church family. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because when I look out across this room, each Sunday morning, each Sunday night, and each Wednesday night, I see a group of people that love God and love each other. Are we perfect? No. Do we make mistakes? Sure. Do we hurt each other's feelings sometimes? Sure. But this is a good church. This is a good church made up of good people. And we have been blessed with the wonderful church family. We can think about the commitment of obeying God like Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19. Or like Paul, when Paul was called in Acts chapter 9. They obeyed and they went. They accepted that call. They committed. They made the choice. Here's the call. I'm going to go. We can also remember the commitment of Moses and Abraham and David to God. The commitments that they made. When I think about those three individuals, I think about great commitment. I think about some men who made some mistakes, but they continue to live by faith. They continue to be committed to God. And when they did something wrong, they sought their best, to their best of their ability, to make it right. And then I think about in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus makes a commitment to the apostles. When He calls, Jesus is walking by the wayside in verse 18, by the seaside. And He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said to them, here's the commitment. Follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. That's interesting, isn't it? These men knew how to catch fish. That was their livelihood. That's what they did all the time. They knew how to catch fish. But Jesus says, listen, I want you to follow Me. And as a result of following Me, you will catch men. Pretty interesting. Follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. Remember, what God wants from us is us. God wants us to give us to God. To give ourselves totally to Him. What else can we be committed to accomplish these visions and these goals that we might have for the church and us individually? It's to be committed to our family. We need each family totally sold out to each other, totally sold out to living a life of faith before one another, to lead each other to Jesus, to heaven. Spouses being committed to their husbands and wives. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, an aid fit for him.' Then the man said, 'This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" You see, that's the way marriage is supposed to be. That's that commitment to one another. And we need husbands and wives committed to one another and committed to God, and parents committed to one another and committed to their children and their families, and sharing Jesus with them. I'm reminded in Ephesians chapter 6 about how Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul uses the same analogy of the marriage relationship as it relates to Christ and the church. Do we share things about God in our families? Do we talk about God in our families? We need to be committed to doing that, and training our young people and encouraging our families. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, speaking of training, he says, "But bring them up in the discipline," or the training and the instruction, "of the Lord." And he mentions fathers there, but I think we can include, especially after thinking about this morning, our mothers, we can include that in parents. Parents, bring our children up to love God, to love His family, that's important. To love the Bible and the things found in God's Word. To love God's family and to being with God's family every opportunity that we have. You know, I also think it's important that parents, we train our children when we make mistakes. And we say, "You know what, I was wrong and I'm sorry. I'm going to do better." When they see us hurt, and because maybe we've done something or someone's done something for us, and we forgive them, or we seek forgiveness from them, and they hear us say to our brothers and sisters in Christ, "I'm sorry." That's training as well. Let us seek to give our talents to God and show our young people that that's what's important. It's not just about getting an education so I can have a better job. That's important. It's important to provide for our families. But let's challenge our young people. When you think about the job that you want to do, go all out. Seek that job. Seek that education. Seek that learning. Seek those opportunities. Why? So you, God can use you in that area of expertise where you are. And then the third thing that we can be committed to is the church. We've just spent over the last few months talking about being equipped for ministry. And several times I remember saying that what we want everybody to realize and understand, do not come in this building and think, "Oh, I'm not important." Because you are. You are important. And you know, there are times when you know what, we mess up and we forget to check on people. And sometimes we say the wrong things and do the wrong things, and we make people think that they're not important. But the reality is, you are. And so let us be committed to our church family. Let us commit to seek out ways to get involved in the work of the church. Let's look for opportunities. Let's look for things. You know what? There's a need here. Here's an opportunity. Here's something I'm interested in. Are you dreaming about things that you can be involved in for the Lord's cause and that will aid the church? I hope so. Let's make a commitment to know that as Christians, we are the church, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Why do we meet together? what is the purpose of meeting together? Well, there's a number of purposes that we meet together. And sometimes we think it's just only for coming together for worship. But that's a part of it, to worship God. But it's also, we come together to partake of communion, the Lord's Supper. We come together to study the Bible. We come together, and here's another big one, for fellowship. Maybe we ought to talk a little bit more about that. I know I have a one summer series that I will be speaking on this summer, and my topic is about fellowship. Maybe after I do that, I'll share that lesson with us. But the challenge of fellowship, you see, here's the important thing about fellowship. When we're committed to the church and we're committed to fellowship, we realize that, you know what, when I come to church, it's not about me. We realize that, you know what, there are people that are sitting in that building, that are coming in that building, and you know what? They need to see me. And it's not because I'm great. It's not because you're great. It's because God has created us to need one another. God has created us to need fellowship, to need encouragement, to need strength from one another. And so let us be committed to that. Let us be committed to be people like Barnabas, to encourage, to be people of prayer. Speaking of prayer, that's another thing we can do. As we think about these visions and these goals, we can pray. Each and every... Imagine. I've been reading some about the Restoration Movement. And some of those early preachers and early Christians in our nation. I've been reading about how the many times that they gathered together. And one thing, it wasn't, in those days, it became not about the name on the church or on the building. You know what it became about? It became about, let's see what God wants us to do, and let's be people of the Word and seek to follow the God of the Word. And many great things happened. And I'm sure one of those is that people prayed. They spent time in prayer. Think about the things that we can accomplish when we spend time in prayer. When we say, you know what, I want to be committed to the church. I want to be committed to following God. I want to be involved in the work of the church. So what is it I can do? God help me, I want to be involved. Show me the things and the ways that I can be involved in the work of the church. Show me, God, Father, how I can lead people to you. Pray about the vision that God has for us. Pray about the vision that we need to have individually and collectively as a body of Christ. Pray for our elders. Pray that our elders will have vision. Pray that our elders will have wisdom. Pray that our elders will have strength and courage, because they are put in charge of being overseers of every one of our souls. Pray for every person that's identified with this church family. Have you ever taken out a directory and just begin praying about the people in our church family? We will be blessed. Pray about lost souls. Several weeks ago, I challenged us to think about one person in our life that we know that needs Jesus. And to be praying about those opportunities to share Jesus with those individuals. To look for those opportunities. Let's pray for lost souls. Let's pray for the ministries of the church. We have camp coming up. A lot of our young people will be going down to Hamilton, Alabama for camp. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for Vacation Bible School. That God will give us an opportunity to share His message with a lot of kids. That a lot of adults will have the opportunity to be involved in teaching that. Let's pray about the House of Hope and the many people that will be touched by that. The many opportunities that could come for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through Bible studies. And not only that, the opportunities that all of us will have to be involved in that ministry. And that all of us will have those that will be over there on a weekly basis to fellowship, to encourage one another. And there are many other ministries that we can think about and name. Luke chapter 22, the Bible speaks of Jesus, and when he arose from prayer, then he went to his disciples. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, constant in prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything. Do you ever get anxious? I do. And the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you have some anxiousness, some anxieties, take those to God. And ask God to help you with those. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man, a righteous person, has great power as it is working. Prayer is important. Someone has written, ever wonder what the abbreviation ASAP means? Generally, we think of it in terms of even more hurry and more stress in our life. Do it right now. ASAP. I need it right now. Maybe if we think of this abbreviation in a different manner, we will begin to find a new way to deal with those rough days along the way. And I write a poem that goes like this. There's work to do, deadlines to meet, you've got no time to spare. But as you hurry and scurry, ASAP, always say a prayer. In the midst of family chaos, quality time is rare. Do your best, let God do the rest. ASAP, always say a prayer. It may seem like your worries are more than you can bear. Slow down and take a breather. ASAP, always say a prayer. God knows how stressful life is. He wants to ease our cares, and He'll respond to all your needs. ASAP, always say a prayer. And one final thing this evening that we can do to help aid in the vision of the church is we can give. We can give. Give. Most of the time when we think about giving, we think about money. But I want to encourage us to think about time. You see, God needs us to live a balanced life. And part of that balanced life is giving time to God. Part of that balanced life is giving time to the church. Part of that balanced life is giving time to our jobs. Part of that balanced life is giving time to our families. And God understands that. But God wants us to give of our time for His glory. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, the Bible describes how Jesus grew in a balanced way. He increased in wisdom, study, education. He increased in stature. He took care of himself physically. And he increased in favor with God and man. Sometimes Satan enters into our lives and he creates unbalance. And sometimes because of the stresses of life, and we need more of this or more of that, and things become unbalanced and we begin focusing and spending more of our time in other places. But God wants us to be balanced with our time and giving all that time to Him. But when we give time to our jobs, we do that to the glory of God. When we give time to our families, we do that to the glory of God. And when we give time to the church, we do that to the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm reminded of how those Macedonians gave. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep and in their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. You see, they gave of their time, they gave themselves to the Lord, and then gave everything else that they did to the Lord, including money. You know, money is a very sensitive subject when we talk about that we talk about in the church, but it's important. And the Macedonians, they gave of their money. And what's interesting to me in Scripture, you think about the widow's mite. And you think about all the people that were coming into the marketplace there, or the worship, the temple. And they were putting in their money. And there were wealthy people there. But Jesus picks out this one widow to make a statement. Because he said, listen, all these other people, they've come and they've given out of their abundance. But this widow, she has given all she had. And that's what the Macedonians did. They first gave themselves and then they gave liberally out of their poverty. You see, it wasn't about being wealthy. It was about giving themselves to God and giving of their time and of their money. And Paul said they even gave according to their means and even beyond their means. You know, as I stand here and say that, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. To ask myself, am I willing to give of my means to God, back to God, even beyond my means? You see, they saw a need and they gave beyond their means to meet that need. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul also addresses the idea of giving. A passage that we are familiar with and use often. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. And when I come, whoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Paul said that each person is to put something aside as he prospers. God has blessed us, remember, tremendously. We all have nice homes. And I realize, I've driven around in parts of this county and the surrounding counties, and I realize in our estimation, there might be some people that wouldn't have nice homes. But the way I understand it, I've not been in third world countries. I've seen pictures and I've heard testimony. And the way I understand it, even the poorest of people in our nation are richer than a large portion of the world. And Paul said that the Macedonians, they gave of their means and beyond their means because there was a need. Given to God then should be from the heart, because all the things that He's given from us. Many times we talk about faith. We talk about works. We talk about how it's not works that save us. So why do we do those good works? We do those good works because we have been saved. Because of the faith that we have. Because of what God has done for us. And why do we give? We give of our time and we give of our means because of what God has done for us. But and the more blessings that we have, the more responsibility that we have. And the more maybe is required of us. Both of our talents and of our money. God wants us to give of ourselves, to give totally to Him, of our time, of our money, of our talents, for His glory. A lot of times we think about tithing, and people want to discuss tithing, and then that's okay. It's important to understand that. So how do we decide how much to give? Well, tithing is something that goes back to the Old Testament. It was when God required them to give a tenth of certain things. And some people have said, you know, they tithed in the Old Testament, we should tithe today. Well, the interesting thing is when you go back and look at it, and you start looking at all the things they gave up, they actually gave more. But for us, we're not given a specific amount. Someone may say, oh, well, that means I don't have to give a tenth. Well, maybe that's not a liberal attitude if that's our attitude. I heard a preacher say one time, a tenth is a good place to begin, and then give more as you get more. If you're not able to give a tenth right now, he said, begin where you are and work to giving a tenth, and then keep working to give more. And the more we give, the more we are blessed. And it's not really about what we give, get in return. Even though the Bible gives example. In Malachi it says, test me and I will prove myself to you. But the reality is, the important thing is that we give of our means, of our time, of our efforts, of our talents to the glory of God. For the vision that we want to have for this church body and for us individually. Why is vision important? Vision, goals, direction. It helps us individually. You ask any athlete, you ask any sports team. Every year they start off their season and they have goals. They have things that they want to accomplish. And they may not accomplish them all. But there's one thing about it. They have a direction and they know where they're going. George Mallory, was a famed mountain climber who may have been the first person ever to reach the mountaintop of Mount Everest. In the early 1920s, he had led a number of attempts to scale the mountain, eventually being killed in the third attempt in 1924. Before that last and fatal attempt, he had said, I can't see myself coming down defeated. Mallory was an extraordinary climber, and nothing would force him to give up. His body was found in 1999, well preserved by the snow and ice, 27,000 feet up the mountain, just 2,000 feet from the peak. Give up? He did not. His body was found face down on the rocky slope, head toward the summit. His arms were extended high over his head. His toes were pointed into the mountain. His fingers dug into the loose rock, refusing to let go even as he drew his last breath. A short length of cotton rope, broken, was looped around his waist. When those who had set up camp for Mallory further down the mountain returned to England, a banquet was held for them. A huge picture of Mount Everest stood behind the banquet table. It is said that the leader of the group stood to be applauded, and with tears streaming down his face, turned and looked at the picture. And he said, I speak to you, Mount Everest, in the name of all the brave men living and those yet unborn. He said, Mount Everest, you defeated us once, you defeated us twice, you defeated us three times. But Mount Everest, we shall someday defeat you because you can't get any bigger, but we can. In 1953, two climbers reached the top. You see what vision does for a climber who wants to make the top of the mountain? He died trying to reach it. I wonder if we cast a vision individually and collectively as a body. To say, no matter what, but when I die, let me die in the service of my Lord. Because I want to be a hard-fighting soldier. I want to be in the battle. I want to be involved in the work. I want to pray for my family. I want to pray for my church family. I want to see souls added to the Lamb's Book of Life. I like that mountain climber, George Mallory. When I leave this earth, I want a train behind me of people following God, because I never gave up. And I had a vision to reach heaven through the grace of God and to carry as many people as I can. to minister to as many people as I can for His glory. Amen. What a difference that will make in our lives individually. What a difference that will make in our community. And what a difference that will make in our church family. Let's pray about vision. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, I realize most of us may be, but maybe you're here tonight and you're not a child of God. It's our prayer, it's our vision that you will have a desire to follow God as well. That you will realize that without Jesus Christ and giving your life to Jesus Christ and being buried with Him in baptism, that your name cannot be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that you'll be willing to do that tonight. Maybe it is you're here, and maybe you've lost some vision, not physically, but spiritually, for your life individually, for your family, or for the church. Maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe you've been discouraged by other Christians. What better time to say, I need prayer? What better time to say, Lord, help me? What better example for our children? What better example for our church family to say, forgive me? I may have been wrong. I want to have a better vision for this church. I want to have a better vision for myself individually. I want to have a better vision for my family. Maybe it is you're just here and you need our prayers, because this is a good church family. And we pray for one another, and we love for one another, and we try. We try our best. Though sometimes we fail, we try our best to walk with each other and to help each other. Whatever your need is to respond tonight, whatever your need might be, don't wait another moment. But come forward and let us assist you any way we can as together we stand and sing.